be 4CBA. 4CBA. K4CBG. I think it's David, right? This is Carlos.
You got it right, Carlos. Mr. C-131.
The mighty Herky Bird. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I've been out doing a little work on the car and on the motorcycle, and I just walked back in the house.
I just got done running some errands myself. I was going to get a few things at the grocery store. It's the oddest thing, the things that are out. I was going to get some all-purpose flour, and there was nary a speck on the shelf.
I hear that expression much more, nary one on the shelf, I tell you. Flour. Now, I probably wouldn't have guessed that they'd run out of flour. Yeah, it was funny, my youngest daughter texted me last night. She said, they got toilet paper at Lidl on Wade Hampton. We just live about 3 miles from there, I guess. And my wife said, you better go get some. I said, I ain't going over there.
When the toilet paper, it seems like they're starting to catch up little by little. They're not full capacity, but they're catching up. But, you said on Wade Hampton. I was thinking over there on the other side of Greenville where it gets real busy.
That's right there at Wade Hampton High School. There's a QT right across the street, and then behind the QT there's one of those grocery store Walmarts.
You're about now. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's why am I drawing a blank? Over there, the real busy road on the east side of Greenville.
Wade Hampton. General Wade Hampton. And I used to work at that McDonald's, right? There's a Uniroyal Tire Station there on the corner. And then that McDonald's, I used to work there when I was in the summer, when I was out for the summer when I was in college. And I'm dating myself here, but this was back in the mid-70s.
Kept a small circle of influence, I guess, unless you traveled somewhere in between.
My wife and I were both born in Greenville. We grew up as my dad used to say, as the crow flies. I'm sure you've heard that term. We probably didn't live more than, I'd say, mile and a half from each other, but in fact, one of my friends that I played with across the street used to go over, and he was friends with a guy over there that lived across the street from my wife's house, and they used to go in her front yard, and she would play football with them, so she knew my buddy Chris before I ever met her, years before I ever met her.
Cool. I like to hear those kind of, stories behind things. I think I told you I ended up here. I met my wife at Clemson. And, of course, the Air Force picked where we were going to live for 20 years, and then when we finished there, she got to pick, so we came back home. We're around her family in the Pickens area.
Thing is, my wife, my dad grew up in Pickens on a farm. They had a 17-acre farm there on Fox Squirrel Ridge, and so that's where he grew up. And then he went into the Air Force, and he was a an MP. And then when he got out, he started working for the Greenville City Police Department, and he worked there 33 years. He was a captain, and when he retired in 1990, and he was a captain of detectives for 18 years, worked in the detective division for 24 years. But anyway, so I had to, and my wife made me ask him for her hand in marriage, and he was wearing his sidearm. Boy, I was sweating bullets. No pun intended.
Oh, I bet you he saw some stuff. 33 years, so that means 57. He went in and he left at 90. That's a long career. I always tell the story when I went to ask my father-in-law if I could marry his daughter. He's a real big guy. He played football for Carolina. He has hearing aids, and I guess he had a heads up that I was going to ask. So I sat down next to him and I said, "Well, I got something important to ask you." And he said, "Hold on one second. I got to change my batteries."
So he wanted to make sure that he didn't miss anything, huh?
Yeah, that's right. And he told me, he said, "I only have one thing to say to you." And I said, "What's that?" I was listening. And he said, "You better take care of my daughter." And I said, "Yes, sir."
Same thing here. And of course, and her mother started crying. I thought, "Oh my gosh, you know, this didn't go exactly like I thought it might." But she was the middle daughter, and first one to get married. So I guess, I don't know, maybe that had something to do with it. But we lived in Charleston. I think I told you about that, and for 2.5 years I was in the ministry, but the rest of the churches I served in were in the Greenville area, Simpsonville, Greer, Travers Rest, you know, the little towns around here. So other than the 2.5 years we were in Charleston, we've lived here at Greenville all our lives.
Sounds like it would have been an interesting lifestyle. I think back, you know, when I was that age, when I asked my father-in-law, I think back about how little I knew, you know, and had looking back to be the parent saying, you know, "Yes, I'll give you my blessing," but just realizing how much life you still have to learn from.
Before CPA. Yeah, I was 23, I think, when we got engaged. So, yeah, I had a lot to learn. And, you know, Earl was, I tell you, him and Fran were the best in-laws you could ask for. I mean, he was, you know, he's a pretty big fella, and he could be tough, but I mean, you know, he never gave me any problems, because I never gave him any reason to give me any problems. But he was very, very well respected in the law enforcement.
That, you know, about how little you knew. I remember the first time I soloed in an airplane, especially the solo cross country. It was out of Clemson. And I look back about how little I knew. It's amazing I made it back alive.
What did you have to fly?
A Cessna 152, which, interestingly enough, is still flying, and I give give some instruction out of that same airplane that I soloed in 30 years ago, almost.
Well, that's something. Well, I imagine you know that plane very well by now. You'd notice pretty fast if there's anything wrong with it.
Compared to the C-130, you could imagine when I came back here, that plane is super simple. There's no accessory systems, really. It's, you know, on that Herc, you could imagine you got four engines instead of one. You got pneumatics, hydraulics, mechanical systems, retractable gear. You got, you know, four electrical systems, DC, AC. That little 152 has just got the basically a carbureted engine. That's about it.
My goodness. Yeah, I imagine it's a lot different. And do you have the same redundancy in a small plane like that you did in the C-130?
The philosophy is, you know, when you get to that level, is just keep it simple. And the more you can do that, actually, the safer it is. And one reason I say it is the plane gets lighter, and it essentially is a glider at that point. If you can keep it real light, like that airplane, for every 1,000 feet, you can glide about 1.2 miles.
So you're talking about just a dead stick and you're gliding it in. So it's not too bad. I watched this special one time on, I think it was National Geographic, and they built a plane out of, I don't know what kind of wood it was. It was real light. I don't think it was balsa wood. I don't think that would have held up. But whatever it was, they rolled this plane in duct tape and flew it. I couldn't believe it. Can you imagine if one little piece of that duct tape started to rip off, it would just, you know, take a big chunk out. And if that happened on the wing, you know, on one of the wings, that would be that would not be a good experience.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, hey, listen, David, I'm pulling in. I'm going to say 73K4. CBG. I think it's KB4CBA.
Roger. All right, Carlos. We'll, you have a good rest of the day, and we will talk with you later. Glad you arrived safely and say 73s. K4. Gotcha, Camry. K4CBG. KB4CBA clear.